And I thought tonight that I wanted to preach on the theme of our campaign. So take your Bible tonight, please, and turn with me to Psalm 94. Psalm 94. And if you've been reading the Bible with us, that is one of the Psalms that we read this week, and we want to preach on that tonight. So let me get that. All right, Psalm 94. And our theme of our campaign is persevering prayers springing up. And this is one of my favorite times of the year. The spring has sprung, and we have a lot of anticipation going forward. And sometimes in your life, when it comes to things that you're praying for, and you keep praying for it, you don't give up praying for it, sometimes it may seem to you that the Lord is hiding himself from hearing and acting on certain things that you've been seeking God to do for you. And sometimes when that happens, we are tempted to give up. We are tempted to stop believing God for these things and praying to God for these things. And I'd like you to notice, by way of introduction, what it says about that in Psalm 94, verse number 1. It says, O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. In other words, God, I have been praying to you, but I don't see you showing yourself to me. I don't see you coming out of the shadows. I don't see you coming out of a hiding place and doing what I have been asking you to do. And we get discouraged sometimes when that happens. And the theme of our campaign for this spring is persevering prayers springing up. And the title for the message tonight from Psalm 94 is How Long Till You Possess Your Persevering Prayers. He says here, O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Now, he's not talking about selfish revenge. Somebody hurts your feelings, somebody does something that makes you angry, and you want to get back at them and show revenge. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about God's vengeance. And what is God's vengeance? God's vengeance is his attribute of justice. In fact, notice verse number 2. I'll read it. It says in Psalm 94, Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Render a reward to the proud. Notice that this verse speaks of God as the true judge of those who are prideful. You see, people that are prideful, they rule God out. They rule out him performing his word, and they think that they're getting away with things, and that God is not going to deal with their sin, and so they rule God out. And God says here that that God is the judge, and he does perform his word, and he does bring justice for his people. And that's what the psalmist is praying for here, not for revenge, but for justice. He says, God, you're the one that judges. You know, the Bible says in Romans 12, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. So you be good to your enemies, but you pray for God to get justice and bring down his judgment. You know, when you get saved, you have the attribute of God working in your life called justice, and you want to cry out for God's justice. And so the world, your own flesh, and the devil are going to stand up against you praying for certain things and asking God, but I believe that we are to perseveringly pray for God to perform his judgments in the earth and answer our prayers as God's people. And you say, well, what's the theme of the campaign? Well, Luke 18, 7 through 9, it says, "And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily." What does that mean? Not necessarily that the moment you ask, you're going to get it, but when he does it, then it's going to fall out quickly. It's going to happen quickly. It may take a long time. We can't set a time limit on persevering prayer for God's blessings to spring up, but we can say this: God hears prayer, God answers prayer, and God is a God of judgment, and he will perform what he says he's going to do, and he's going to put down the prideful, and he's going to hear the prayer of the humble. And so we need to look for and pray for our persevering prayers to spring up. And tonight I'm thinking of things that God has promised, listen to me, that proud people of the earth oppose and speak against God and what his word says. And one of the things I'm thinking about tonight is the evil regime of Iran, referred to in Elam in Jeremiah 49, 34 through 39. To my knowledge, this prophecy has never been fulfilled. And I believe it has now been partially fulfilled since the summer of 2025 and now at this particular time. I was so heartened when I heard that the F-15E was shot down, probably by a Russian heat-seeking missile that was given to Iran, and somebody got it on their shoulder and was able to shoot that plane down, and the pilot was down, and the co-pilot, or the navigator, or if you will, the weapons person, who was a colonel. And it was amazing to me that many Christians were praying. How many of you prayed for the recovery, and how that was answered wonderfully by him being rescued? There was a big firefight, and the pilot was rescued. The other man, the second man, was injured on landing, and he managed to have training, and he worked his way up the rugged mountains, and all these Iranians were chasing him and trying to find him. And in the meantime, he had ability to communicate with the president through a means that they give these guys when they're knocked down, and the Pete Hegseth and the commander of the military, Raisin Kane, and they were following him. They knew where he was, and the Iranians were closing in on him. They promised thousands of dollars as a reward if they got this guy, and they were closing in, and he was avoiding them for 24 hours, then 48 hours, and they were closing in, and the Americans came in. I'm talking about Marines. I'm talking about A-10 Warthogs, and they were closing in, and they literally had a firefight and killed many of these guys that were trying to get him and got him out of there, and he is safe. And thank God for that. That is an answer to prayer. And as I look at the Word of God, I think about persevering prayer, and I have heard many people who are professing Christians, and they speak out against this war, and they criticize Donald Trump for this war. And they criticize our military for this war, and they are complaining about it. It's just gone on now for just over a month, but they are very critical. And I point out to them that God says in Jeremiah 49:34, he says, first of all, in Jeremiah 49, he says that he is against Elam. He says he is against them. He's very angry with them. And he's angry with their shooting their bows at innocent civilians and at his people and killing people and trying to develop the chief of their might to put a nuclear bomb on those and get rid of the United States, who they call the great Satan, and get rid of Israel, to call the little Satan. And they've been doing this, and they've been showing who they are. And people criticize this, but I point out, God says no, God is against them. So I'm glad the president is against them. I'm glad Benjamin Netanyahu is against Elam. What is Elam? It's the mullahs, the Islamic regime that's over Iran right now since 1979 and has been doing all kinds of wickedness in the name of Allah. I believe they were behind Eric Slobodnik getting hit with an IED. Soleimani, who Trump took out, did that, helped develop that. They killed many Americans going way back into Lebanon when Reagan was president. They've killed Americans. No president has done squat about it. No president. But you know what? God calls for justice. Romans 13 says that the commander-in-chief doesn't bear the sword in vain. There is such a thing as justice. There is such a thing as judgment. I'm thankful when Christians were persecuted in Nigeria and showed love to Islamic hatred. And in that place, Donald Trump helped to bring in military to deal with Islamic hatred. That's a good ruler that does that. That's what the Bible says when it says we should pray that we can live what kind of lives? Peaceable lives. You say peace, that's war. Hey, you got to have war to have peace. Did you hear me? Unless you win a war, you're not going to have peace. All we need for evil men to conquer is for good men to do nothing. Thank God for a president who recognized that he had to do this. I doubt he understands Jeremiah 49. Doubt he understands this prophecy. He's not a preacher, but he is a man that God has raised up. And God says, and upon Elam will I bring the four winds from the four quarters of heaven, and will scatter them toward the four quarters of heaven, and will scatter them toward all those winds, and there shall be no nation whither the outcasts of Elam shall not come. Why? Verse 37, because I will cause Elam to be what? Dismayed before their enemies, and before them, it's not working? Dying. All right. Can you hear me back there? Is it all right? Turn me up a little bit, Bobby. All right. A little bit more. Don't have much. Yeah, that's better. For I will cause Elam to be dismayed before their enemies. I'm so glad they were dismayed before their enemies. They talk really tough, but they're getting dismayed more and more before their enemies. And God said, I'm going to scatter them toward the four winds, and the outcasts of Elam, they'll have no place where they cannot go. Now, has that happened yet? No, it has not happened. But that tells me, I don't know if it's going to be tomorrow when Trump said, I don't know, but I know God says there's going to be some big disaster in Elam. I can't guess what it is. I could give an opinion, and I could be wrong, but I know there's going to be a disaster as God said he'll break the bow of Elam. What's the bow of Elam? The ability to launch her missiles. Is she still launching missiles? Yeah, still doing it, but there's very much less. And they're knocking out the factories that produce the missiles, and you say, well, they've taken the Strait of Hormuz. Well, it's not going to stand according to this. That's not going to stand according to this. Because God's word is true. And I'm saying that we need to have persevering prayer, and you need to possess your persevering prayers. And you say, how long? How long? Well, you need to realize that God will bless your persevering prayers. And he said that he will scatter them toward all those winds, and there shall be no nation whither the outcasts of Elam shall not come. Do you know there's a nuclear plant that has a nuclear reactor that's in the southwest part of Iran, And it is just where the ancient nation of Elam was, who had these missiles called arrows and were noted for that. And these Iranians are like them. And right there in the southwest part of where ancient Elam is a reactor called Bashir. Now, I don't know, but I know that four times that reactor's been hit in this war. And they've checked the radiation levels, and so far, it's all right. The radiation is all right. But can you imagine what would happen if that got hit and that radiation went off? It could go west toward the Arab countries that are right over the Gulf. It could blow east, but certainly it would cause a major problem. All I know is this: Russia has advisors there, and I heard in the news they're pulling their advisors out of Bashir. They tell them, get out of there, get out of there, get out of there. I'm just saying, I don't know how it's going to be done, but I do know that it says, and I'll quote it again, verse 36, "And upon Elam will I bring the four winds from the four quarters of heaven," sounds like an air invasion, "and will scatter them toward the four quarters of heaven, and will scatter them toward all those winds, and there shall be no nation whither the outcasts of Elam shall not come. Why? For I will cause Elam to be dismayed before their enemies," plural. Iran has a lot of enemies right now. They're fixing to go in there, and it says they're going to seek their life, this wicked regime. "And I will bring evil upon them." God says, "I'll do it. And even my fierce anger," God is angry, "saith the Lord, and will send the sword after them till I've consumed them." That sounds to me there's going to be boots on the ground as well. And then they'll be consumed. And so, I don't know about you, but I'm praying for God to fulfill this scripture and free up the Middle East from this evil regime. And God says that he's going to put his throne in Elam. And I believe there's an ancient fallen angel called the Prince of Persia. He's influencing all this evil. He's behind the scenes. God's going to take him out. And I'm encouraging you to keep perseveringly praying for that. Second, I'm also thinking tonight, as we have this campaign, about the way we have not seen a major revival and awakening in the United States since the Welsh Revival of 1904 and 1905. It's been also about 121 years since Billy Sunday in March and April came to Scranton and had his great meetings, and 25% of Scranton professed faith in Jesus Christ. 80% of those were serving God in local churches 10 years later, if I've researched that out. It had a tremendous mark, and we have been praying for Scranton. We've been praying for northeastern Pennsylvania. We have been asking God for a great awakening. And we need a revival here at Scranton, revival that will spill out into this community and make a difference. And I'm saying, how long till you possess your persevering prayers? I've been preaching for 17 years on Jeremiah 49, and now we're seeing it. Looks like it's rolling off the parchment onto the pavement. We've been praying for revival, Revival Seekers Prayer Meeting, for about 55 years. I've been praying for it with people at Scranton Revival Baptist Church for about 55 years. You say, "Pastor, how long are you going to pray praying?" I'm not putting a time limit on it. But I'm going to pray and watch for my persevering prayers to spring up for the fulfillment of Bible prophecy in the Middle East, for God to fulfill his blessing of revival and an awakening. And finally, we've been praying for the Lord to bring down indictments through the Justice Department upon the systems of evil in the deep state and the shadow government. And what did we say is the greatest thing that manifests itself that proves these people are stealing the Constitution, the government from this country? Election fraud. election process, and mainly through the machines. But there are other things they do, and we're praying for that to come, judgment to come down, and indictments to come down, and to deal with that, and all the rest of the evil that needs to come down. And I don't know about you, but Pam Bondi wasn't getting it done. And now she's been moved out of that position. I certainly don't trust Todd Blanche, but I do trust God that he's going to work. And I'm saying that we are praying for revival. We're praying for God to judge the systems of evil over America, bring down these indictments, which we've not seen happen yet. And I'm trusting God to work through the president that we voted for and to bring these things to pass. And that's what we need to do. Perseveringly pray, and God will bless and bring these things to pass. And Bible prophecy, keep preaching on it. Keep watching. Keep waiting. Keep praying for these things to come to pass. And so tonight, I want to say, how long till you possess your persevering prayers? And I want to say three things. First of all, the patience for your possessing. You see, you're going to need patience to possess things that you pray for. We Americans, we want things just like that. I just want to see it like that. I want instant coffee, or what do they call those things? Carrots. You put them in, psh, there's your coffee. I want to put it in the microwave, boom, heat it up like that. I want it really quick. I don't want to wait. Well, with God, you've got to have patience to see these things brought to pass. I remember preaching on Isaiah 46 and 47, and I was talking about Cyrus and how God raised Cyrus up to be a friend of Israel and free them up and send them back to their land and let them build their temple. And I said, you know, when I went to Israel, they made a coin with Cyrus on one side and Donald Trump on the other. And I said, I believe God raised up. This is before Trump got elected in you know, his first term, 2016, November, before he got, I said, I believe God raised Trump up to beat Hillary and the deep state and all the wicked, and to make him president. And then, you know, we prayed for that, and God did it. He brought it to pass. And then 2020, they brought COVID in, and the red Chinese communist and the globalists brought COVID in, and we're still dealing with that. And then they stole the election. Remember that in 2020? And we were preaching and said they stole the election, and we prayed and we fasted and we asked God to put Trump back in. And I told people, I believe God heard our prayer. We prayed. I believe God heard our prayer. I'm standing on it. He's going to come through. And I had somebody tell me, well, you tell me when. And stupidly, I tried to figure out when. Don't do that. How long, oh Lord? Put a question mark there. God knows when. I didn't know when. But I tried to defend it by saying, well, I think this time. Well, it didn't happen in my time. It took four long years, but he got back in. And they tried to kill him, they tried to indict him, they tried everything. You can't argue with that. God put that man in there. He didn't put Alex Jones in there. He didn't put Tucker Carlson in there. He put Donald John Trump in there. I believe he's a Cyrus figure. His name, Trump, means to get the better of in a public way. Isaiah 47, he's the 47th and the 45th. But Isaiah 47 talks about kings defecating in their pants because of him. And I believe the leader of Iran better do that, because he no longer is. And they just kept killing them on down. Trump is right about that. And now a bunch of their generals got together because the military's running it. And you know what happened to them? They were eliminated, Trump just said. They were all killed. There's good reason why these people ought to defecate. Because when God raises somebody up, he means business. And I believe he raised up Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel for such an hour as this. He's like a Churchill figure. And I'm just saying to you that I believe this is an answer to prayer, and I believe that we are perseveringly praying for these things and asking God for these things. And I hear people say, well, oh, he went to war. He's not going to win in the midterms. Gas is going up. All this problem happening. Your midterms aren't here yet. Because if they did win in the midterms, they'd try to take him out and put him in jail. You know that. But what about persevering prayer? That's what you and I need to do. And how long till you possess your persevering prayers? And you know what? Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it. He sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. In other words, the book of Revelation is talking about things that must shortly come to pass. But John wrote that in about AD 96. It's now about AD it's now about AD 26. So wait a minute. That's almost 2,000 years, just short of it. That's not shortly coming to pass. You say, well, God said a day with him is 1,000 years, 1,000 years a day, but he didn't write this book to himself. He wrote it to us. Shortly come to pass. What does that mean? Can one of the men tell me what it means? All right, Brother Matthew, let you share it.
When God starts to bring his judgment, it's going to happen quickly.
When God brings down the final 7 years, it's going to happen quickly. And the beginning of sorrows will go boom, boom, boom. There'll be these labor pains. One world government, persecution, boom, labor pain. And quickly the Lord will appear. When it begins, it hasn't begun yet. But when it begins, it will happen very quickly. And already the super sign to the end has begun. May 14, 1948, Israel became a nation. 1967, Jerusalem was captured. Right now, these wars are playing out. We just mentioned Jeremiah 49, the Iranian war. That's already, we believe, in progress. Gaza war in Zephaniah 2 is in progress. These things, we're watching for them. This isn't Ezekiel 38 and 39. That's the next prophecy. What's coming on the heels of this? The destruction of Damascus. What's coming on the heels of this? The nations surrounding Israel, like Iraq and Syria and Jordan and Egypt, they're going to go to war. But fear not, because Israel's going to win that war and expand their territory. And we have an opportunity, I believe, to be blessed of God. And so we need not to set dates, but to pray for God to fulfill his promises and to pray that our church can do what God raised us up to do while we have the opportunity. We can make hay while the sun shines. And I think about persevering prayer. I like what a former deacon of this church, Ken Rudolph, said. He said that persevering prayer is like a big container. And you have to fill that container in order for God to pour out the blessing. And you have a container and you're praying for something like revival. And he says you begin to pray and he puts incense in that container and you fill it up maybe a quarter full. And then maybe you quit praying and somebody else gets in and they start praying. I thank God for Revival Seekers Prayer Meeting. I stick right there, man, because I want to be there. I want to be praying. Some people come and go. I want to just keep praying. And you fill that half full, and I don't know how long it is, and then you fill it to three quarters full. And finally, when it gets to the tippy top, and God knows when, he'll pour out the answer to prayer. And that's the way it is with persevering prayer that is poured out or springs up with blessing from God. And you know what some of your problem is tonight when it comes to persevering prayer springing up? You lose faith. You lose faith. And number two, guess what? You fail to persevere. You fail in the area of patience. That's in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 34. It says, cast not away, therefore, your what? Confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Keep the faith. Keep believing God. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you quit and stop praying. No, it doesn't say that. After you've done the will of God, you backslide and eject and get. No, it doesn't say that. After you've done the will of God, you get discouraged by negative circumstances. No, it doesn't say that. After you've done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Yet a little while. You see, you need patience. And you need prayer. So how long till ye possess your persevering prayer? You have to have the patience to possess it. And I've seen many people come and go at Scranton Revival Baptist Church, but I've not seen those that have no patience sticking around to see the blessing and enjoying the blessing. And you need patience tonight. But secondly, you need the person for your possessing. And I want you to see in Psalm 94, look at verse 7. I'll read it. Psalm 94, 7 and following. It says, Yet they say, the Lord shall not see. Who are they, the prideful? Who are they, those that don't believe God concerning Israel, like Tucker Carlson, Candace? Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Oh, yes, he will. God hasn't changed his mind about his word. About Israel. No, he hasn't changed his mind. He says, understand ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will ye be wise? Says, he that planteth the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? In other words, not only the patience, but the person of God. He sees you. He sees your faith. He sees your prayer. He sees your patience. And he hears. He made the ear. He made the eye. He hears you. He sees you. Don't get discouraged because of his person. And what does the Bible say in verse 10? It says, he that chastiseth the heathen, shall he not correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall he not know? In other words, what does God do? God brings his judgment down upon the heathen people that try to fight God. I wouldn't want to be those that curse Israel right now. You curse Israel, you're going to be in trouble. And I pray for people that bring down their influence, Lord, if they're cursing Israel. You said you'd do it. I pray for it. Wither the fig tree of those that are rejecting you, O Lord. Humble them. Perhaps by humbling them, they'll wake up and get saved. Why? Because he chastiseth the heathen. Look, we talked about Saul of Tarsus. Hey, he was persecuting the church. And what did God do? God brought him down. You don't think God's able to do that? He's able to save the atheist. He's able to turn around the agnostic. He's able to save the enemy that's fighting. He can do it. You just stay and trust his person and have patience and stay with him and stay with his will. Because over time, the Bible says, the Lord will come through. And he knows, get this, verse 11, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. And they are vanity. So I'm saying, how long will you possess, till you possess your persevering prayers? You need patience to possess them. You need the person of your God to keep your eyes on him if you're going to possess them. And I'm just saying that the judgments of God are real when God comes down. Hey, remember Sodom and Gomorrah? They were praising their fornication. They were praising their gay rights and all this. And what did God do? He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. You know what? California better watch out. You know what? All these people that wanted men and women's sports and all this. Some women need to get out of men's sports, by the way. But all these people that wanted that, They're finding out God brought in another administration that's not friendly to that. You see, God hears and answers prayer. Remember Hitler when he was marching Jews to the ovens? They were on trains. They didn't even know they were going to be burned. They didn't even know when they turned on the showers that water wasn't going to come out. It was going to be Zyklon B gas by Heinrich Himmler to kill them like sheep. And what was that? It was the judgment of God, the pain that they were going through this wicked nation and this wicked man. But you see, through all that pain, God brought his judgment down on Hitler and on the Nazis. And what happened? Israel became a nation. And now they have a great army, one of the great armies of the world. Now they're not marching into the gas chambers at this time. And I'm just saying to you, God brings down his justice and God brings down his judgment. You keep praying for God to deal with Iran. You keep praying for God to deal with the election fraud. You keep praying for those that have been enemies within the United States of America, that they be brought to justice and judgment. I'm still praying that Barack Obama be ripped and stripped of his presidency, and he's not even named as a president. He's been an enemy. You pray for Islam to come down, Allah to come down. Trump had a tweet. Now, he had a bad word in that tweet. I don't agree with using that word, but I do like what he said about Allah. He mocked Allah. He mocked Allah. And I mock Allah tonight. You say, how can you mock Allah? Because I'm a preacher of the Word of God. And God mocks Allah. Elijah stood up and he mocked Baal. He mocked him. Where is he? On a vacation? I am telling you, you're going to see three swift punches from God Almighty. Jeremiah 49, Psalm 83, and Ezekiel 38 and 39. It will take down Islam way down. And the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Christian Zionism, will be exalted. Just be patient. You know, I mentioned Hitler being taken down, but Hitler's coming back, isn't he? And that evil regime is coming back on steroids. And there's going to be a time of Jacob's trouble. Some Jewish scholars today, they believe that Jacob's trouble was the Nazi concentration camp. Little do they know it's coming again. They don't even understand it. They think the temple is going to be rebuilt and that's going to be their Messiah coming for the first time. They don't know that's going to be the false Messiah. They're brilliant Jewish people, but they're blind to the true Messiah. And then when they're in the midst of that, and when we're in the midst of that, because if you're a believer, you're not exempted from that time of tribulation, the great tribulation. And when you're in the midst of that, I want you to see how you need the person of God to come through. And look at Revelation and chapter 6 and what it says there about patience. It says, and when, verse 9, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. There's going to be a time of, I believe, peace and prosperity, but then there's going to be a time of great tribulation. And if you live long enough, you'll see that. And he says, and they cried, those that were martyred, they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord? Same thing, Psalm 94. Holy, how long, O Lord? Holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And the Bible says that white robes were given to them and they should rest a little while until their fellow servants also and their brethren should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. You see, the person of God comes through And we may say to God, how long? You know, the great tribulation is going to be a great tribulation, but God's going to cut it short. And he is going to bring down his judgment. And we can always count on the person of God to come through and judge the enemies. You know, sometimes God will even use enemies of God to chastise his people. But then he likes to break the rod with he beats his people with. And I've seen it in my own life. I've seen God chastise the church, chastise me, and God then breaks the rod that he uses to deal with you. I'm saying, how long till you possess your persevering prayers? You need the patience for possessing. You need the person of our God who judges and who performs his word to possess. And finally and lastly, you need the promises for your possessing. You see, the Bible, if you look at Psalm 94, go with me, and in closing, look at verse number 12. It says, blessed is the man whom thou chastisest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity, until the pit be digged for the wicked. Now look at verse 14. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. Doesn't that sound like a promise to you tonight? You feel like maybe God's asleep? Well, he may seem like that. You feel like maybe God casts you off when you're having a hard time? Maybe it feels like that. But the Bible's very clear. He does chasten us to teach us to be faithful. He does chasten us to persevere and to teach us to persevere. He does chasten us to focus on his person. But he says, I make a promise to you, I will not cast off my people. I will not forsake you. Sometimes you feel forsaken, don't you? You're not. Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. You see, he never denies himself. You're part of him. We talked about that this morning when Saul was coming against his people and he thought he had them and he was going to get them. The Bible says Jesus confronted him and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? I feel what you're doing to my people and I'm going to deal with you, Saul. I'm going to save you. Now you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer persecution. And the Bible said, listen, the churches had rest. The churches had rest. You just realize that God's promises are true. You could take them to the bank, trust him, and persevere to possess his promises through patience, through his person, and then through his promises that you take hold of and stay with them. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed. I wonder tonight if you've been saying how long